1 Samuel, and we're going to read chapter 3 and look at that this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And then the Lord called to him yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken against his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." And then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Let's pray. For Father, we pray that none of my words would fall to the ground this morning, and that all of your words would come to your people Israel here this morning. Lord, we lean on you. We trust in you. We depend upon you for a word, to hear your voice. And so, Lord, open up our ears and open our hearts to hear what you will say to us through your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And there's a problem with the Christian life. The problem that we face as Christians, as growing Christians, is a problem that has to do with the lack of intimacy with God that we so often experience. We all, as growing Christians, desire more and more to draw nearer and nearer to God, but so often our experience seems completely other than an intimate one with God. God often seems distant. He seems aloof. At times he seems more like a doctrine to be believed than a person to be enjoyed. And I think one of the major reasons for this is because of the Word of God, or the way that we've come to handle the Word of God. As a pastor friend of mine once said, and I think we can all identify with this in terms of our devotional life, there's a worm that eats away at our devotional life. And if we expect anything from God's Word as we come to it, we expect Him to tell us things about Himself. We expect to learn things about Him. We expect to learn what we should do in this life. And those are really great things. Don't get me wrong. But the problem is that so often when we read the Word of God, it seems more like a biography about somebody than somebody speaking to our hearts. It seems like a story about somebody famous that we've never met, rather than somebody actually talking to our hearts. And that's the way the Word of God comes to us. You know, oftentimes we go to the Word of God, and I think you can identify with this. Our hearts are halfway out the door before we even begin to read the Word of God. And sometimes we start reading and we're not really even thinking about what we're reading. Or if we do think about what we're reading, we're not really that interested in what we're reading. I remember talking to a pastor friend of mine once, and he was talking about how he was reading through the Bible, and he got to Leviticus, and he said something shocking to me. He said, "You know what, to be honest, I just find this really tedious and boring, and you know, it's just a difficult thing to go through all these sacrifices." And I, you know, on the one hand, I thought to myself, how can you say that about the Word of God? But the truth is that so often we come to God's Word, it doesn't captivate our souls like it should. And, you know, there, in one way, in our culture, there are things that encourage us in this kind of approach to the Word of God. There are devotionals that really are designed to keep you no more than 5 minutes in the Word of God. Devotionals for people on the go. Devotionals for people who are really busy. And they guarantee that they won't keep you very long at all. You're in, you're out. And that's the way that many come and leave the Word of God. And you know what? There's something very appealing about that kind of approach to reading God's Word. I mean, there's something appealing about not having to spend large amounts of time in God's Word. There's something appealing about that. And so often I hear, as a pastor, a common complaint, I'm so busy, I find it very difficult to get into God's Word. Maybe that's something that you've said even this past week. And without being too hard, without being too critical about that mindset, it's amazing that when this is our first calling in life, that we have so little time for it. But it betrays, I think, it reveals an attitude about the Word of God. We are busy people. Oftentimes we are too busy to listen to God's voice speaking to us in His Word. I think personally we can continue like this for several years in the Christian life. Going to God's Word, reading it in a perfunctory way, where we just read it for the sake of reading it. Where we read it and we just do a little check mark. Done my religious duty for the day. But the thing is, after a while, friends, we end up saying to ourselves, is this really all that there is? I mean, if I have a relationship with God, why does it seem so one-sided? How come I don't hear God speaking to me more than I do? Why don't I hear the voice of God? And as we go to God's Word, and as we come away from God's Word, feeling just as flat as we did when we came, friends, we say to ourselves, there has got to be more to this relationship. And there is. There is. And my friends, we should expect to hear the voice of God speaking to us as we come to His Word. And I think that a little boy named Samuel gives us some insight as to how that can happen, and some hope, really, that this can happen. Because here we hear the voice of God coming to a little boy named Samuel. And this morning, as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, and as we see God's voice coming to Samuel, we're going to learn some things about how to hear the voice of God. And how to grow in our relationship with God. How to develop intimacy with God. And the first lesson that we learn from Samuel is this, that God's Word is often not heard when there's unconfessed sin in our lives. That's the first thing that we learn about hearing the voice of God. That God's voice is often not heard when there's unconfessed sin in our lives. You know, when I personally think about the seasons of my life when God has seemed distant, I can almost always trace it to unconfessed sin in my life. I'm not talking about the sin that pervades us, that is within us, our indwelling sin. I'm talking about specific sin that we know that we shouldn't be doing, but that we nevertheless give ourselves to. And I can almost trace a silence, an aloofness with God to those scenes in my life when I am not dealing with sin as I should. God's word seems shut up. It seems closed. It seems locked up. And I think Samuel teaches us that it is almost futile to expect to hear God's voice speaking to us through His Word when we are not dealing with sin in our lives. If there's one thing that Samuel teaches us, it's that lesson. This was not a high point in Israel's history. This was not a time when Israel was brimming with righteousness. This was a low point. This was a dark time. This was a faithless time in Israel's history. If you go back at some point and you read chapters 1 and 2, you see some very disturbing things. Some of God's leaders, Eli's sons who were priests, were more interested in eating the sacrifice than they were with offering it. In fact, we're told that they were sleeping with women in God's house. These are priests. And as a result of their disobedience, they were leading Israel into sin. So much so that people began to actually despise the offering of God. We're told that God was displeased with the way that Israel was conducting itself. And what's interesting is that there's a connection between Israel's disobedience, its unfaithfulness, and chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. You see that? The reason why there was no widespread revelation, the reason why God's word was so rare in those days, was because sin was so common. You see, where there's unconfessed, undealt with sin, there is no widespread revelation. God's word is rare. And we should not expect to hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts through His Word when we're not dealing with sin in our hearts and in our lives. You see, God is holy. And God will be treated as holy. And He's not going to pretend that everything's okay when everything is not okay in our lives. And He wants you to know that everything is not okay. And the way that He does that is by shutting up His Word to us and appearing distant. Not hearing His voice. Where there's this terrible silence, an aching distance that separates us, seemingly so. And you know what? That's actually a really loving thing to do. It may not seem loving, but it is a loving thing to do. It is a loving thing to limit communication when there's a problem. When a husband and wife have a problem, when one has sinned against the other person has a hard time being open and communicating. And it is not wrong to make that person feel as though there's something wrong in this relationship. The communication becomes limited. And when we are not walking in righteousness, when we're playing and coddling sin in our lives, it is a loving thing for God to limit communication, for the Word of God to be rare, for there to be no widespread revelation. That's a loving thing. And here's why. Because when God limits His voice, we begin to yearn for it. We say, you know what, I am tired of this aloneness. I'm tired of not hearing God's voice. I'm tired of living as though I don't have a relationship with God. And we begin to seek God's face and we cry out, God, let me hear Your voice. You know, I heard a story this past week of a father and a daughter. And the daughter was in a bad mood and it was getting to be about bedtime. And the father took his little daughter and put her in bed and lay down beside her, and they were touching noses. And the father said to his daughter, I love you. And the daughter said to her father, well, I don't love you. And the father rolled over and he just looked at the ceiling so that he wasn't looking at his daughter anymore. And he just lay there in silence. And finally, the daughter, in a panic, said, "Daddy, I do love you. I do love you." You see, God is loving when He limits communication, because it creates, it evokes from within us a desire to be close to Him. We want to hear His voice. And we get scared when we don't hear His voice. And so God is good and gracious to make His word, to make His voice rare. You know, the amazing thing is the word rare. And, you know, I'll tell you why I think that's rare. I think that's amazing. The amazing thing is that there is a voice at all in those times, right? I mean, what we would almost expect was there to be no communication, for there to be no revelation at all. I mean, isn't that what our sin deserves? The amazing thing is that although it's rare, there is a voice. And friends, oftentimes where there's sin, that voice is a voice calling you and calling me out of disobedience, right? And back into communion and intimacy with God. I don't know where you are this morning, friends. I don't know if you're running. I don't know if you're playing with sin. I don't know what it might be. But maybe the voice that you've got to hear this morning is a voice saying, "Listen, come to me. And put aside your sin. And just come to me. And if you do that, then I will speak to you. I will open up my mouth and I will speak to you through the Word of God. And you will know in your heart that we walk together." It was rare. The fact that it was rare assumes that God does not ultimately reject His people even when they walk in disobedience. However, we must not presume on that. We must not content ourselves to say, "Well, at least I'm hearing something from God." No, no. We're putting away our sin and we're opening ourselves up to a more constant and frequent speaking of the voice of God. First point, first lesson is this then: that God's voice is often not heard when there's unconfessed sin in our lives. Let's confess that sin. Let's deal with that sin before a holy and righteous and a merciful God, that we might open ourselves up to hearing His voice coming to us again and again. And that leads us to this second lesson we learned from Samuel this morning. And it's this: that God's voice takes time to discern. That God's voice takes time to discern. I don't know if you've ever wondered why it is that it takes time to get to know God. I don't know if you've ever experienced a level of frustration where you say, "You know, I just don't know God as intimately as I want to." You know, I think if we're honest, we all feel that. I remember as a young Christian complaining to my brother Andrew. I didn't know a great deal about the Christian faith when I was young, of course. But I remember saying to him, "You know, Andrew, why is it that I can't know Jesus as closely as I possibly can right now? I mean, I've done everything I possibly can. You know, I've confessed my sin. I've asked God to forgive me. I know He's received me. I know that I'm in a relationship with Him. How come then I don't know Him more closely than I should?" And he said something that stuck all these years, is this: it takes time to get to know somebody. And I think it takes time to discern the voice of God. It takes time to learn how to interpret, how to receive that word, that voice coming from God. And we said, I think, so clearly with Samuel, and so wonderful. At first, Samuel did not discern the voice of God. When God came to Samuel and said, "Samuel," what did Samuel do? He ran over to Eli and said, "What is it, Eli?" And Eli said, "Samuel, I didn't say anything. Go lie down again." And then the Lord came to him again. And he went to Eli and said, "Eli, you spoke. What do you want?" And Eli said, "I didn't say anything. Go lie down again, boy." And then he came to him a third time and said, "Samuel." And Samuel went off and he said, "Eli, you did speak. What is it?" And at that point, it dawned on Eli that the Lord was speaking. And so Eli said to Samuel, "Samuel, the next time you hear that voice, you say, Lord, speak for your servant hears. And Samuel went and he lay down. And we're told that the Lord came and stood by Samuel and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak for your servant hears. And then verse 11, then the Lord said to Samuel, you hear that? Then Samuel began to hear the voice of God. And what it was that Samuel heard was not great. I mean, God was spelling out doom for Eli's household. It wasn't great news. But the point is that Samuel learned to hear the voice of God. Not at first, but eventually, gradually. You see, there is encouragement. There's hope. At first, we don't discern God's voice. We don't often hear it. But over time, we learn to hear His voice. We learn to discern the inflections in His voice. We learn to say, that is the voice of God speaking to me. You know, so often, one of the reasons we don't hear the voice of God, it's not because God's not speaking, it's because we're just not discerning His voice. You know, sometimes we go to the Word of God and we just start reading and we haven't really worked at getting into God's Word. We haven't asked God prayerfully to help us listen to His voice. And so we finish and we just feel like we have not met with God. It's not that God hasn't spoken. It's just that we have not attuned ourselves to His voice. You know, sometimes I think that we mistake our voice for God's voice. We haven't learned to really discern God's voice speaking within our hearts. When we think of God's voice, we often think of a loud, thunderous voice. Maybe the kind you've seen in the movies. But what about that voice that you sometimes hear in your inner person? That voice that maybe nudges and moves, and where a scripture or a portion of scripture or a sense of scripture comes through your soul. We think, oh, that's just my voice, is it? And could it be the voice of God? Or how about hearing people speaking like Samuel thought it was Eli? And it wasn't Eli at all. It was the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we think that we're just listening to human beings, when in fact it's the voice of God. We think that we're just listening to a preacher. We think that we're just listening to a brother or a sister, when in fact it is the voice of God speaking to us. And because we don't have the ears, we're not discerning it to be the voice of God, and we miss it. But here's the thing. I think over time, as we grow in the Christian faith, we will learn to discern the voice of God speaking to our hearts. And that should be the expectation. The expectation should not be that I come to God's Word and I just see paper and ink, but that as I come to God's Word, over time, more and more, paper and ink disappears, as it were, and I really almost hear the voice of God speaking into my heart. And I just know without a shadow of a doubt that it is the voice of God speaking to me. That here's what God wants me to hear. That these are the things that He wants me to know about Himself. That here are the plans that He has for me. And I know that it is the voice of God. I know it's God speaking to me. You know, I'd love to be able to say this morning that in my own life, I hear God's voice as clearly as you hear my voice this morning. But I don't. But I know this, that more and more I hear His voice speaking to me through His Word. And my desire and my hope for you, for me, is that more and more that will be our experience. That more and more we will discern God's voice speaking to us through His Word. And that should be our expectation. That should be our hope. But it requires something. And it's a third lesson that I think we learned here from Samuel this morning. It's this. That God's voice is heard by people who know Him. God's voice is heard by people who know Him. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in the church, I didn't really take in a whole lot. every Lord's Day I would go to church, and every Lord's Day I would hear a message, but it was lost on me. It was entirely lost on me. And that's because I was dead. I was spiritually dead. I didn't have the ears to hear God speaking to me. I was dead. And you know what? God's Word says that that's the condition of those outside of Jesus Christ. They're spiritually dead. They don't have ears to hear the voice of God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The reason we're told why Samuel did not recognize or discern the voice of God was why? Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Why didn't Samuel recognize this to be the voice of God? Because he did not know the Lord. He did not know him. The reason why I think many do not hear the voice of God is because they do not know him. You have to know him to hear him. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." It assumes a relationship. And maybe that's a relationship that you need this morning. Maybe you need to come to know the Lord. And maybe you need to put aside your sin and put on faith and say, "Lord, I have sinned, fallen short of your glory, and I am trusting in Jesus Christ, your Son, for salvation, for that relationship. I'm trusting that you're going to bring me close so that I can hear your voice and not go through life alone as I feel myself to be in this life, even with all kinds of people around me. Father, I want to be near you. I want to hear your voice. I want there to be that kind of relationship." And I would just call you this morning into that relationship. And for those of you who do know him, there is always room to know him more. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, there's room to grow. That assumes that we don't know everything about Jesus Christ right away. It assumes that there is a process of growing in our knowledge, in our intimacy with God. And as we do that, get this, we will learn to discern the voice of God. We will learn to hear from him. And we will know it is him. And it will be unmistakably clear to us. Listen, there is really no need to go to this life like orphans. You're not orphans. You're children of God. And that means that you should have a relationship with God and know and experience that relationship the way that God wants you to experience it. And that means that you should be hearing the voice of God day by day, even day by day, as we go to God's Word. It simply means this: God, Lord, open up your Word to me. Open my ears. Speak, for your servant hears. That should be our desire. Our desire should be to come to this book and to wait on God and hear from him. Not coming to it just as something to do. I've got to read this so I can get on with my day. No. But as a way of cultivating our union and our communion with Christ. Lord, speak. I'm ready to hear you. I have your word open before me. I've spoken to you. And now I'm asking that you will speak to me. And that you will speak so clearly that I don't miss it, but that I hear it and recognize it to be your voice. And Father, speak into my heart so many of those areas of my life that need to be confronted and changed. And Father, instruct me. And Lord, reveal yourself to me. And Lord, show how much you love me and care for me. Friends, do you honestly think that if that is your prayer, if that's your desire, that God will not speak to you? That he will not speak his voice into your life? Friends, he is a speaking God. If there's one thing we know about that, it is about God, is that He speaks. The Word of God begins, and the Lord spoke. The Word of God ends with God speaking. And throughout the Bible, we hear God speaking. Friends, will He stop speaking to us? The Word of God is not dead. It is living and active. And God longs to speak to us, friends. He longs to communicate. Will we keep Him waiting? No. And so this week, as we come to the Word of God, we're not treating it as a religious thing to do, something to check off. But we're saying, Lord, Father, speak. I'm waiting to hear from You. I want to grow and know You. Speak, for Your servant hears. And friends, let that be our prayer this week. And let it be when we come back next week, we can say, you know what? That was my prayer, and the Lord heard that. He did speak. He spoke beautifully, powerfully into this withered and dry soul, and He raised me day by day. And I saw His face, and it was a good face. And I have known Him this week in a way I've never known Him. Let that be our prayer. Lord, speak, for Your servant hears. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, together we are asking You to speak so that we hear You. Together, Father, we are asking You to come and make it very clear to us that it is You who speaks. For Father, our desire truly is to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know You as deeply and purely as we can. And Father, we pray that You will not disappoint us, but that You will excite us as we hear You speaking. And Father, tomorrow, when we open our Word, and Father, when Tuesday rolls around and even Friday and Saturday, we pray, Father, that we will be people who say, I love Your Word, Father, because I hear Your voice speaking to me and blessing my soul. And we thank You for this awesome gift.